everybody that is a part of ESPN Central Texas, from production to producers to talk show hosts to others who gather or report. Everybody does something pretty special. Paul's been working on this website stuff, the Android. We gave you that information. Craig Smoke put together what had to have been a tedious and also time-consuming project to list every single high school football player in Central Texas who signed to play college football this week. I think there's like 61 names. This is not based on a coverage area for what other media may do, because that's who they reach. This is a large, huge, throw a blanket over Central Texas, about an hour or 10, 15 minutes each direction, other than we don't go into Round Rock South. We stop at about where Salado might be. 80 or 61 names. And if there's a name missing, let us know. And, oh, by the way, you can go to Centex Sports Fan on the website to see that list of those 61 names and see if there's someone who might be missing. We're now joined by Grayson Grunhafer, Sikkim365.com. Grayson, is there any chance you think that even though Baylor signed those five Wednesday, Dave Aranda spoke with us twice this week, including the press conference. How many players you think will be added to attrition or from other rosters in the transfer portal? Two or three? How many do they have left? Four.
Yeah. So the thought process is that they're probably going to have room for, you know, possibly four more guys. You know, it's still one of those tricky processes with the, you know, coaching change, turnover, and things like that to really sort out the attrition. But right now, the number that I think we're kind of looking at is four, and that can come from transfers, grad transfers, you know, various things like that. That's what they'll try to fill the rest of the recruiting class with and fill their depth chart with as we kind of move forward into the spring and then, of course, into the summer as well.
What positions do they need to really plumb the portal for?
Yeah, so for just kind of going off of what they were recruiting, obviously missing out on Maynard, defensive end, Princely Umanmielen on signing day, it really solidifies a need for the defensive line. So they're for sure, I believe, going to target the defensive line. And if they can find a best available type guy on the defensive line, then they'll definitely take him, because I think they really, really need to get that depth going, especially after losing all three of their starters on the defensive line from a year ago. I also think you'll see them look for an offensive lineman. Most likely for the offensive line, it would probably need to be someone they feel like could come in and start right away. So probably a grad transfer is the route that I would assume that they would go there. And then from there, it's probably going to be just best available type. I know wide receiver is a position that they could probably take one. And also the way that they filled out the class, I still think linebacker could be a spot that they'll look at, but we'll see. Those are a few of the positions, but I definitely think defensive line is the one that you will almost for sure see an addition to before fall camp.
Is it almost, I mean, Dave Aranda gave his staff the rest of the week off, and whether all of them left or not, some of them probably trying to go find out to go pack belongings or go get what they need because they came so quickly and have been living out of their suitcases. But isn't the 2021 chase, I know it's before National Signing Day in February, but isn't it, that's on now, right? I mean, they now have a chance to go find and get ahead of the curve rather than play catch-up like they did this year.
Right, and they're definitely going to have to start ramping up the evaluation process, because right now they're actually in a dead period throughout the rest of February until March hits. And so once March hits, it's just going to be a dead sprint to try to get out offers and to get guys on campus as well. You know, some schools utilize this last weekend of, you know, during official visits, they used it for a junior day. Baylor decided to not really do that. They just focused on the officials. Now they'll have most likely something in March for the junior day where they're just going to really, really try to get a head start on the 2021 class. So this month, the evaluations are going to be extremely important, and you're going to look and see them try to put together a really, really good 2021 class. And there's a lot of high expectations for it as well for this 2021 class, but it will probably be smaller, much like this year's class was.
There was something that Dave Aranda said to us on Wednesday. He reiterated during his press conference and then reiterated it with us Wednesday and also with Matt Mosley on Thursday is the fact that they are very similar in some ways of the players of who they want, those who can play multiple positions based on what is needed. What is the difference, though, among that? Is there a difference between what you saw and who they went after with Aranda's staff compared to the Matt Rhule staff?
Yeah, so the versatility is actually something they definitely have in common. You know, they both staffs really looked for guys that were very versatile and could play a bunch of different positions, so that you're not really, you know, restricted to only playing a guy at a certain position. This just allows them the ability to find the best position, and it basically means you're signing the best athletes to go around out there. But I would say that the difference really to me is I think Aranda's staff is willing to take a guy that's really, really good in high school, even if he's not the most elite athlete ever. And I think that's the biggest difference, because Rhule and staff, they were not going to offer someone unless they met the athletic requirements that they needed. I think Aranda is more willing to go off the film and say, okay, I think this kid can really play football, and just hope that the times are maybe off, or just kind of wait and see approach with the times instead of just going off of, okay, he ran this 40, we're definitely offering him. So I think that's where you're going to see the biggest difference in the staffs. But I would also say, don't look at this class as much of an indication, because, you know, Al Walcott, you know, most of these guys, Blake Shapen, the guys that they signed outside of Mike Harris, the staff had already built a relationship with, and it wasn't really just Aranda came in and saw them and offered them. They already had been looked at by Sean Bell or James Blanchard or guys like that outside of Mike Harris. Mike Harris was strictly a Dave Aranda guy. So I wouldn't look into this class too much, but moving forward, that's kind of the way I view it.
Grayson, thank you very much. Grayson Grunhafer, get some rest. I know you turn right around and start doing what you do. That's Grayson Grunhafer, Sikkim365.com. Coming up next, the 4 o'clock hour is packed. Mike Fisher on the Cowboys next. Ross Dellinger, SI.com, on the story involving he and Pat Forty on Baylor, the NCAA. And at 4:30, Alicia Corte from Tailgate Guys.